fit in the spin. Now, see, I'm running, but I really know what I'm doing, but I wasn't afraid to tackle anything. Just like I was, you know, before that. Now, you're talking about you using a torch, the same boy that's living over at Hastings, his daddy, rather. He wanted to go give the shipyard, you know, a welding outfit. In school, we'd had a little experience, you know, with this little acetylene stuff, in other words. And he said, go up there to Gibbs and get us a job, make some money out of it. I told him, all right, went up there, and my right eye got a little flash on it, and all that. I got uneasy about that. And I said, I'm going back home. I'm going to do something else. I ain't going to lose my eyesight. If I lose my eyesight, I can't do anything. And I left him up there. I come back home, baby.
You know.
And since then, I know how it's blown to do, because I had welding. I wouldn't had a lot of people burn it up, but I don't tell a man how to work his job, but the same boy down here, I told him last time he welded that hydraulic lift that pick up behind that big tractor, the man was working with a big John Deere, and you pick up, you know, a ton, you know, on the back end. And that thing, one side of it broke loose, and you use that dollar pick rod, you know, that new kind of welding rod they got, and he used silver stick to that. But he got his nail too hot. I knew that, you know, experience I hadn't forgotten, in other words. And it crystallized, you know, if you know something about welding, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't say too much to him. But I didn't pay him. I told him to charge it, and the boss man would pay him. And he said, don't put no water or nothing on it. I said, no. I said, I'm just going to put it back in the pickup. I'll have to get Doc and he'll help unload it.
Back now. I want to see that. Go ahead.
And says, got back and I only put 10 or 12 cross ties on it. I'm going to come down and make that corral, you know, on the back end of that tractor, came up to the hole, you know, and let it down part way, and it helped you bounce some cross ties weigh 200 pounds apiece, and you know, affect them old gum, and get it headed to the hole, you know, and the man can put them in the hole. And I said, don't put in no full load now, just put on 7-8 of them, you know, at a time. So he did. He put on about 7-8, and some of them, you know, weigh 200, and some of them weigh 100 pounds, in other words. Some of them barge another. And he went to pick it up. He laid it on the ground, you know, when you put one man on each end, you stack them on there. He went to pick it up while that thing was crystallized, you know, she just went back a haywire again. That's when the boss man got, well, take it off. I'll put it on my truck and I'll catch the Wilson and pay $10 to get it fixed, right? So he did, you know, and he rebraced it. He put another piece in and rebraced it. That's what farmer should have done, but he was down there with this, but this other man up here running this road, you know, on the right, this side of McIntosh. What's the name of that man?
Gagger?
No, one this side of Gagger.
Yeah.
Got all the pots and irrigation stuff under the shed.
Yeah.
Jap Ray worked with him for years.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of the man's name. But he was working with him, and he just quit, you know, to get me on the go, you see.
Everywhere you say, if that camp landing had lasted another 6 months?
That's what they said, told me I could retire.
Listen to that. Now, you never heard anything like this, Ray. He had two trucks.
And I use them, you know, and they're paying for upkeep, gasoline and all of them, and I'm working them, and I'm getting 50 cents ahead, and I can 35 to 40. Men, 50 cents a head out of day. Then I used the truck and got up there for 75 cents an hour. And they paid all the gas. And once a week, I changed oil and stuff. Of course, the truck's in good shape. You like that tractor that I was showing him on the shed. It don't use a drop of oil. I imagine it's probably in better shape than either one of yours.
I'd be sure.
Than you, I know. Because that's a 50. That's a model of mine. The 54 model. I believe that's what it is. And the other little way that's underneath the shed, the next that baler, it's a 52 or 53 Super 8.
Well, that's
8.
What you use to do your garden.
That's the garden tractor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And the one to plow that garden, P-Pax that
well, now,
and didn't have a chance
yeah,
to do
now
it.
He went up there. The farming, he just let that farming drop for a while. And he went up there, and what do you have?
She's getting it. She sees what I mean.
And, he got up there, and they asked him if they had any extra hands down where he come from.
And I just left this little job in Gainesville, in other words, and I knew it about to play out.
Uh-huh.
And I knew it. Some men want to work some more. And I told this boy I'm working with over here now with these people that bought the farm over there. on the corner of the road that the voting booth, going into Willie's.
Yeah.
You know, just across the main road, it's on top of the hill at home, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful place on the hill.
That's where he's writing up there.
And yeah. That's where I'm working now. But I told him, I was going to have to leave him, but I didn't think I'd be there. Well, as I told you the other night, that I thought I'd be here until the first of the month.
Yeah.
And I'd probably be another week or so.
You didn't miss it far.
Not much. And they called me this morning wanting to go to work. But they understand it, in other words. But I went on up there to see about the job while they said, you have any men? I said, yes. He said, well, we need some men, sawmill. Need some carpenters, need some laborers. I said, well, I have either 40 head or some of all of it. In other words, 40 people, you know, haul it. I said, there's some about every category you want to. One or two of them knew a little something about electrical work, you know, like WP.
Well,
Willie picked up his deal, you know, just like those carpenters out there, a bunch of them. Anderson living there next to Willie. Did you meet him? He was with me. He was sitting in the front. He and Cecil, both of them were carpenters, learning to be carpenters. But all they could do, I'm telling you the God's truth, is to saw a board and drive a nail.
When
they went up there. That's the truth. But they got only skilled carpenters. I'm telling you the truth.
Well, and Willie,
he was tinkering around. He picked up a lot of his stuff. Of course, he was in the, had to get out for the service time, in other words, in the 40s, but Willie was in, with Uncle Sam, but he picked up here, you know, just a little hand around about, in other words, his little tinkering.
Yeah.
Like he's out there behind the track counter, I teased him at H.A., you know, putting in some new wall plug. He says, let's go down and tease H.A. and say, we done run out of fence poles, and had to wait until the man brought some more. And see if he can't give us a little job in painting, you know, around in his house or where he was putting in this plyboard.
Yeah.
You know what? Not plyboard. Yes, plyboard. Sheetrock is the old slate stuff. Plyboard, what he had.
Yeah.
And see if we can't get some of these or money, you know, like Willie was getting inside. But Willie come in and throw the half a dozen little switches, wall switches, you know, on the thing. And another man came in and said, I thought that... Willie rewired this thing and fixed it all up here about a year or so ago when he was over here with you. Said, well, he did, but he didn't do a good job. That's when I'm telling you that the dog went out of the house and got electrocuted.
Willie left a live wire under there.
Yeah. And there's been a person going on to drill a hole in the floor with a cook, and that was robbery like they did once before down there. Might have killed a man. That would have broke up a robbery deal.
Yeah.
But they went with one of these bolt cutters and cut the Yale lock with the bolt cutters.
Yeah.
Then they had the old half, I call it, with screws, you know, it goes in the old thick, heavy door.
Yeah.
They're taking a crowbar, you know, and put it in that thing, you know, and you pull the bolts all the way through the wood, you know, the old door and lumber, in other words. Of course, he had a pretty good job doing it, but it tore it up.
Yeah.
But that cutter, you know, worked on the lock, and they had free access, but they only stole $30 worth of pennies. And he said, I think the reason they didn't get any more of the stuff out of the store is that they got frightened off.
Yeah.
I said, well, the neighbor dog must smoke there across the road, you know. Well, he might have turned the light on to get up and go to the bathroom or something, and maybe he decided he'd pull out. But he's the one that they caught with. His master then identified a TV and oven, didn't do a thing with him. He was telling me about Burr down there. He didn't want to get it, but I signed that ticket. You know, you couldn't read the name of the people's name. But I said, me sign this thing, if I carry $300 worth of wire, then somebody come and steal it and me sign the ticket, he might want me to pay that $300. Isn't that right? No sense in it, in other words. And I said, I'm not picking up no 20 some odd roll of barbed wire. I said, I'm going to get enough to go around it one time, in other words. Full roll to go around it, see?
Yeah.
80-rod roll. And that'll be enough to mark off. And I said, he hadn't got them marked off, and I got the post, I hadn't got the brace post, and all that. We just started on the yard part, about 2-3 acres in the yard. And they want to put the aluminum gate there, wait until you get ready and hang it. Somebody will steal it, like did the 9 roll down here, and 2 aluminum gate. And the old Slim, that he might have hauled stuff up in for you from Wind Supply Company.
Yeah.
Old tall, bright-skinned boy.
Yeah.
His name is Stokes, but I always call him Slim.
Yeah.
Well, he's the one that had the company truck and carried the wire down and was helping Henry drive his tractor and mower a little bit. You know, that boy got a mower and a post old digger. And he's the one that had the barbed wire, in other words. And then the wire was about $8. He wanted to sell it for $4. And he said, I'll got to have a bottle of whiskey. And he said, I'll take $3 roll. Then he went on, and the GP says, I just said, well, I believe I'll get involved, in other words. And the boss of that, Mr. Betts, was a millionaire, you know, worth $15, $20 million. He looked at Jippy and said, Jippy, he says, that's their business. Says, you tend to your business, let them tend to theirs. Jippy, he folded in. He didn't say anything about it. But it wasn't the company's office. It was Henry's own boy. You know what he tell me today down there. He went out to witness the sea, and I wanted that to
Well, now, what was Jippy going to do if they left him alone?
Well, Jippy thought he was going to get involved. He was going to report it and let the law come get the doctor.
Oh.
You know, just like they did out there with that boy.
He was going to buy it at a low figure.
Yeah, he's going to get it, in other words. But he's going to call them and tell them, in other words, and give them the wire back for the money and arrest the nigger for selling stolen property, see?
Oh.
But him being colored, no, they wouldn't have done anything with him.
No, they wouldn't
have done anything with him. I think Mr. Cook agreed to that. If the face is black now, you get away with it. Like that girl down at Lowell. H.A.'s wife, you know, she's a R.N. down there, see. It's Lowell Institution.
Oh, really?
She was with a big doctor. Doctor. I believe his name Wallace. Is there a Dr. Wallace in Ocala? Now, young Wallace died in Gainesville with a heart attack the other day.
Yeah.
But the old Dr. Wallace, I believe he's down there, the X-ray specialist, and he's a pretty well-known doctor, medical doctor. I believe that's who she's with. Wow, in other words.
Yeah.
But then she started working with the girls down at Ocala. That's the younger girls, you know, the delinquents, they call them.
Yeah.
12 to 15 years old.
Yeah,
yeah, but they had a branch here in Ocala.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh. And some way they had some misunderstanding with the personnel in the upper bracket, because the girl that was a supervisor, I went to school with her. She's 2 years younger than I am, but I knew when we were going to school. And I graduated while she's still in, you know, in the 10th grade.
Yeah.
Up in Lincoln Open. Well, she's the head supervisor, but I always thought she was a pretty good girl, and she was a mail carrier's wife's sister. Carol Emerson, you know him. You heard of him, my name. That was his wife's sister, baby sister, is one of his personnel managers. But Linda got a job up there at Lowell. And that institution, that it's still state, but it paid a little more money. And she got in the office, in other words, and you got a colored girl there, in other words, and she'd gotten a new desk, a new typewriter, or something, you know, in the office there. And some of the other girls there said, well, what do you have to do, the rates, you know, to get a new time? I said, I had this old one here for long, you know, 3 or 4 years I've been here. And Linda was just listening. The woman says, that colored girl told her, said, well, it says, you have to have your face black. Yeah, gotta know, you know, right quick. She's black and she'd get what she wanted, just like Abernathy, in other words. And somebody said, do you really believe that? I said, well, I said, it looks that way. That Abernathy won't take O'Connell place and play at the University of Florida. But I don't believe they're gonna let him do it. You cook.
But if Count Blandin had stayed on, why we'd all just been sitting around.
Oh yeah, I tell you, I wouldn't have to worry about anything. Bill Anderson told me out there he made good money, and that other party boy still owed me a little bit. You know, and him making good money, go to show you how your neighbor doing. I got him; he's a pump man. Now he worked for Christian, got his name on the sign down. You want a pump man? Why don't you get him?
He's gone out of business.
Yeah, but he's still a pump man. He know what to do.
He wouldn't last time I called him.
You know, but what? I had him. Now, when he come away, I used my Stilson wrench, you know. I got a pretty good set of tools. I got $40 or $50 worth of tools, you know, on the floorboard of my pickup. Like this man got maybe $700 worth in the back of the automobile here. But I used my tools and I helped him. Now, what did I say? I'm not smart as I wasn't composed to be a pump man. But I was having trouble with that blooming pup, and I wanted him to come over and help me with it.
And he come?
And he come, in other words, and he wound up while he charged me union wages, in other words. And he'd been using my tool and borrowing this, that, and other. And I told him about it. And I haven't bothered with him since. Tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I paid him. I had the money to pay him.
And you paid him all?
I paid him. Paid him what he wanted. Charged me a union scale, in other words. And I'm a local boy. I figured, you know, he'd... Like I do my neighbors out there, I don't charge them no $3 or $4 an hour. No. And I can make money in over $3 or $4 an hour, but somebody that you like, you know, you want to return favor. Well, the favoritism of it can be repaid to you, you know, with people you're living next to. You know, like I tell him, Jippy, you know what I said, Jippy? I said, I haven't had no regular, really regular job with paycheck coming in every week, you know, since October. But I said, if you want to, like, you can just, you know, figure me out, you know, a normal wage, you know. And he said, well, he says, how much is that? I said, he said, $2 an hour will be enough. I said, yeah, that's all right, super. But I'm going to borrow anything he got. He figured me $2 an hour. And I was coming home, you know, and he had me to, you know, stop them more thing. I said, well, I says, I can get your equipment and everything. I said, you just go ahead and add that in there, too. It didn't take but 2 hours. Figured it $2 an hour. Well, I wasn't giving anything from the tractor, you know. When I just left that woman down there, I told you, you know, she paid me $5, and it either said she'd have paid $5.50 down in that new ground. I'm taking it. I said, well, I don't like people. Some people might have told somebody else coming in here, that kind of thing. And I says, they might have asked someone else, and they said, well, that was maybe a little bit high. But it'd been $4 for a long while, but now then you're going to buy anything like that piece of your tractor. It's 3 times what it was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when you got that tractor or something. It's like that drive shaft, in other words. Like it's gone up, in other words. That's what Charlie Buell told me. I said, you know, labor and parts and paint and everything. Says that's the reason that we had to, you know, have to charge $2,500 for that D-17 out there. So, about a 1960 model is one of the first that come out. I said, you let someone else have it. And I said, you people wouldn't want to, you know this tractor, in other words. You knew where it come from, everything about it. All they didn't buy from them that they turned it over to State and Gamble. But I said, you wouldn't want to give me about, you know, less than half of what I paid for it. And the tractor is just as good a shape now as it was when I bought it. I'm telling you the truth now. That tractor, if there's anything wrong with it, I don't know it. But I'd say it's in good a shape now as it was when I bought it.
Up there at Blanding now, that pretty well broke up the farming, didn't it?
I was on the start of it, yes.
Yeah.
And after that, well, then that's when I started hauling watermelon, and I got me an outside job and working with these ranch people. That's when this county, you know, Mann County, you just opened a lot of way, I believe,
yes,
weren't
you?
Yeah. So Mann County started in the horse business, and I got me a job with them, you know, and I was charging them people $2.50, $3 an hour, you know, doing a little odd and in work with them, in other words, and coming home and kind of being my own boss man. And they knew that I wasn't going out there and stand up like most of the men now you get by. They want to punch the clock, you know, and go and hide and get the paycheck every week. And that's when I said, I'm going to leave the farm and all. That's what I was telling someone. I hadn't worked regular, but I hadn't starved, as I told Dick down there this morning. And Dick said, well, they said, you won't consider working in the watermelon. I said, no, I don't think so. I said, when I get through over yonder, well, I'm going to have a hay deal to work with. And I said, I don't think that I'm going to mess with watermelon. I said, Bud Boston wanted me to come and help him with his. Well, as he said, no, if I wanted to work in, I could fix that truck up and haul watermelon. He told me, no, but to fix it up and come on and haul the watermelon. He wants you to cut. Bud Boston. Well, he'd pay $3 an hour, in other words, just cut them in the field. You know, a man taking one to know. You got to look at one and tell when it's ripe. You can't mess around and mash it and bruise it and everything. You got to know, you know, the watermelon. And I worked in them long enough, and all I pretty well know the watermelon. A lot I don't know, but I knew a lot more than them inspectors did when that first gray watermelon came in. They first got the first seed.
When what come in?
That white Charleston gray, they call it.
Yeah.
That first came in, you know, I issued the seed out, see. Never forgetting this area, in other words, by William Christian, richest man, you know, in this section, he got all the seed. Wasn't it 15 or 20 pound that released from the experimental station in Carolina, I believe, Clemson. I believe that's where it came from. And he turned over to Noel Offord and they rented the property down there at the Norris Cattle Company. And that's where they had them. They got the melon ready. Well, that's when Mr. Christian cleared his throat in other words and wanted me to go out and help Noel with them watermelon. Because he knew that I knew watermelon. Of course, Offord had raised watermelon and farming and Christian for years and years.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good watermelon man. And he said, how about you and the old colored fellow out there, 75 years old, Tom Eaton, going down there and helping him, you know, with the melons and carry two trucks down there and load them. We're going to load them right there at Anthony. Well, in the Orange County Company, only about a mile from Anthony. And he says, you and Tom can cut and the truck can, you know, haul them to the box car. And the pack and the specter be there, in other words. And they come on there with. We cut a while, and I said, I'm going right down and see what the man doing to these watermelons. Went down, they was about $1 a piece. And that red-headed fellow there, well, he didn't know anything about no watermelon. But I was inspecting of it. I worked with the government, in other words, in the inspection department, in other words, for years. Sal Wiegel was in business then. But it didn't pay too much, reason I got out of that. I could do something else, it would be worth more, you know, more enticing to me. But the wet wasn't too hard, in other words. But I got out of it when Cy Wiegel kind of broke up. It's a Georgia outfit, in other words. And that man had cut, you know, about 10 or 15 on watermelon. Wasn't nothing wrong with it. I come back, and I told him often about it. I said, it's all right. They allowed a percentage, in other words. Because I know, because I'd inspect you allowed, you know, cut so many man watermelon. But when you get too much, that man's supposed to tell you. Well, you come back to the field and tell me and the man that's headed the cutting is to watch them at you boys getting some of them a little fresh. You know what I mean? That's just logical business, you know. But the man didn't say anything. I said, if I was you, I believe I'd go down and ask that fellow, you know, what's his idea of cutting up all your melon? He done cut $15, $20 worth of that, and that's waste of it, throwing them out of the box car. And I said, they're passed, because I've been inspector for a long while on watermelon. But didn't know anything about that gray watermelon. So Noel went down there, then they called the old cross-eyed boy was in head of inspection down there, Charlie Palmer. He was the head watermelon inspector out of Ocala. And they send these boys out, you know, on the different tracks.
And again, Johnny?
And, No kin to John Palmer. John and not kin to Charlie either. Charlie was a school teacher. But he's his daddy run the store down in McIntosh years and years ago. Charlie's daddy did. Meat market and all. He was raised, you know, local, and everybody knew he and his daddy both.
But they didn't know.
They didn't know the watermelon.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to get, get my nose in it. But the man that had the watermelon, it was his watermelon. It's $15 or $20. They'd done cut and throw them out of the box car door, see. And there was a pass. I could see the end of them, see what I mean? And I knew something about inspection. And I said, they had percentage-wise, and you put up, rack up three tiers. The inspector was privileged going in and see, you know, one is shining, you know, like a baby bee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He pulled that out, you know, and he can put the knife to it. You can't see. Like a baby behind.
Yeah.
he might not. I bet he know what it is. But you can't, you know, that's three-tiered watermelon. That's 145th watermelon. And your man can go ahead and rack up three more and do the same thing. But you don't have but 30 tiers, you know, about, well, 20-some-odd tiers in the car before you finish the doorway. And you get the doorway, well, then the man gets out. He don't check no more then. If the melon running pretty good, so you in the way. And you only weighs a few once in a while and keeps a tally, you know, see if you're getting your weight scale right. But Noel, he called him, and that's when Palmer, he knew his daddy, you know, in New Orleans. He come up there. And he's pretty congenial. He said, well, he says, the boy is a little harsh on you. And rather than calling confusion, well, he moved him on down, you know, to Reddick or Millwood, you know, on back this way from Anthony, see, and another side. And he put another boy there, a new one. Well, he's just as bad, because the melon just started in, and it's just hard, you know, tell about him. And I says, you get to got to look in close now and see when that green, you know, begin to turn a little whitish. You know, that's the way you tell them when they're ripe. But if they slick, you know, like a piece of glass, you know, baby's bee, that melon is green. If Billy Brown had some, you know, the next year and had two loads cut, you know, and they really murdered him, and he had to quit, and he loaded them up behind a tree and caught a sucker, in other words, and sold them to him, the whole pile. Because he didn't know nothing about watermelon. But that's the kind of deal, you know, and that man gets up on selling to the public, while he got, unless he gets the money and gets out of town, while they're liable to kill him. Well, I got to go.
I got to go get Helen, too.
I'm going to have to go, too.
I got to take her to work tonight.
When she going?
Well, why didn't you holler, Cookie?
I got time.
When, she goes away to 10. And then she goes,
10:20.
Yeah. 10:20.
Hey. Okay.
You got to go to work at what?
He got to care.
I
got
to take Helen to work at 10:20.
Lord have us, boy.
Frank's gone and Laura's sick. I know. Frank, he ain't nowhere around home.
Oh, I'm sure he's not. He left here right quickly.
Yeah, he's making up here right now.
Tell you where to see you.
Okay.
I'm glad to talk with you, and
yes,
maybe I'll be seeing you some more.
Yeah, I'll see you about that truck later.
All right, do that. If he still wants to deal with me, I'll treat him right on it.
Okay.
I wouldn't misrepresent him. You can ask the neighbor that I told you once. You can ask him, because he's the one that done the work. I got the bill somewhere on file.
Yeah.
But it's been better to got a rebuilt motor, in other words, when that thing went bad. But I said, well, while he's into it, just as well fix it. $300-some-odd. And I could bought a rebuilt motor, you know, for L&L or L&M in Jacksonville, you know, through my brother-in-law. It cost for about 2.5.
Yeah.
But it's a Chrysler motor, isn't it?
Okay.
You, of course, you might not know it. That's what they said now.
Yeah.
But you a mechanic, no? Well, you probably know.
See you, Cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk with you some more.
Uh-huh.
You get that disc sometime. You come out. I boy want to look at it.
All right.
May sell you a whole hair. Reasonable. Junk price.
Where did AT get that registered nurse?
He married her in St. Peter, not St. Pete. Yeah, I see it on the coast, 19. Yeah, St. Petersburg. Her mother came down and run the YMCA. And that's where he met her.
Oh, I see.
And his sister was going to school down there.
Well,
AT's sister.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, they'd come down from the north, and they'd move down, and they built a little brown...
So he got
I call it a shingle house. You know what a shingle house is?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's regular, I guess, a cypress, isn't it? Cypress, pine shingles? I guess they have both kinds. And they had the thing painted brown, stained, I reckon what it was, stained shingle, and they might have sprayed it, you know, with brown. And he met that girl, and my brother was living there in Clearwater, and... they had the home in Clearwater, but they had the YMCA at St. Pete. That's only about 12, 15 miles, you know, on down from Clearwater. And he met the girl and married her. And,
well, AT don't have to work then now, does he?
No, she makes about $12,000-$14,000 a year. His wife does.
And
but,
don't work?
No.
Don't have
no, and she wanted everything new like these others, in other words.
Oh, thank you, Goodman.
But he's better off, you know. Of course, he got a lot of headaches, though, like you're talking about the bad checks.
Okay.
Well, tell me about the bad. That's when the trouble is coming in, you know. People owe him, you know, at
you
that
mean,
store.
AJ has trouble?
Yeah, with bad checks. And people breaking in and stealing.
That's what put this boy out of business.
And he's telling, that's what I mean. You got
and
all
you
that content
with
there.
The, with the expense you got and with what little margin you got now, you see. A few of them bad checks.
They run. Well, I got to told Henry, like I'm telling you down here. One of the things down here, this place down here,
yeah.
Debts and all that. So Lightning Boy said, well, I know one thing. I owed about $800, $1,100 here. It looked like I never could get the money for him to pay it.
Yeah.
But he says that, I'll tell you, Mr. Christian and his son-in-law, Bill Wynn, were really nice to me, and they gave me enough time, and I said I was going to pay it, and which I did. I straightened up and don't know what done. But he got a cash and carry, and that's when I teased him, Burr, and I was always relating, you know, friendship, in other words. And I said, who's this apply to? Of course, I've gotten a little tough, but I used to pay for my stuff.
Mr. Christian come out all right then on them early Charleston Grays, didn't he?
Yes, sir. He did that.
Now, how long did that last? That first year?
No. They were they still, I guess, what you call outstanding watermelon now.
Yeah, but he got all the seed to water.
He got all the seed water, and he done fine the first year. Of course,
yeah.
Some of the buyers up in the eastern seaboard, in other words, that is in the big tunnels, they were a little jubilant because when they got a little bit old and you hand them a few times, they look like chicken that scratched them.
Oh.
And the color, you know, kind of, you know, get a little bit faded like that old. Like the old watermelon you remember here in Tel Aviv, they call it the Hungrove.
Yeah.
You know, and it got, you know, flat like a gopher and over eye with a holler at you, put your hand in it.
No.
And it was a terrible, they call it a gopher watermelon. Why, it's a terrible looking thing after it set on a fruit stand, you know. Why, you wouldn't want to buy that thing. It wasn't fitting a cow
either.
I
didn't know that.
And that's what they're thinking about this new watermelon. But it was plump and it firm and it had a beautiful watermelon color, in other words, and it was good eating. It's, you've eaten them, though. They're not
better
bad.
Than the others.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's better than that Congo and better than the old green watermelon and better than the old thumb and gray. Better than them, and I said, it's really a nice watermelon. It eats like the little Carolina watermelon they had up there, but had to be careful with it because they look at them real hard, they'd crack. They call that the, not sweet, they call that the, with the rind off the tender. I know when they went up there the first year, they had to make a big watermelon, and I sent one to Buddy and packed it in cellophane and got a terrible big wire-bound box, and the thing cost, I think it was $4 or $6 to send it down to his buddy Huff.
Yeah.
I sent it, in other words. I wasn't going to call, but I wanted to see a watermelon. I think along with this table.
Oh, really?
Weighed about 70 some odd pounds.
Yeah.
70 to 75 pounds. But I was going to ship that thing down now. But I can't think of the name of that watermelon now. But they quit planting them up there. They started planting the gray ones up there.
Yeah.
And I worked up there 6 years, and 2 or 3 years, I made some good money like that. I made... That was about 6 weeks there. I made about $2,500 with a truck, not counting my salary, $125 a week, $125 a week they paid me. And I stayed at private home, just like you people at home, in other words, and had access to the refrigerator and the cook stove, or get my toast and coffee and fry me an egg, you know, and eat a little jelly. And I kept the refrigerator full of them big old nice cantaloupes that melt in your mouth, you know, to grow up there. Sometimes I'd put a little salt and pepper in it, and eat it along with my toast, you know, with my coffee. It's good eating if you ever tried it. Well, you try it sometime. See? You might know what I'm talking about.
You
get a good cold piece of cantaloupe in the morning for breakfast and a cup of coffee.
Well, that's funny. I've never heard anybody living like that.
And you know what I had to pay? It's cheap in living home.
Yeah.
I paid $1 a day, $7 a week. Of course, I had to pay for my laundry out, in other words. And I didn't eat no meal with them, and I would, of course, I'd eat, you know, a little nicks and that, you know, like you serve, you know, coffee and cake, or ice cream, you know, eat with them, visit with them, or something like that. But in the morning, I'd get up before them. She had 2 girls, and I had the girl's bedroom, in other words, and told me that I think you overlook a lot of stuff, you know. I said, well, I know what a person going to find out some fault about somebody else's stuff. I said, that's their business, what they got, none of mine. But I had the girl that was in college, had her bedroom. Shoes, you know, still hanging on the closet, in other words. So, well, this is your bureau. I cleaned out 2 or 3 drawers for your clothes. And this in the closet over here where she had a bunch of dresses and coats and all that hanging in. That room enough for your suits and trousers, in other words. I said, that's fine. But they were really nice people. And I'd have my meal, but I'd eat out, you know, and care. Well, a lot of time you work, when I was working, why I'd go to the store, you know, and get your pint or a quart of milk and some crackers or maybe a little spiced ham or something, a little salt in it to eat, you know, to have a little salt, or you get hot as up there. Then at night, well, that's when they'd all go to steakhouse. That's when the uncle teased me and said, you put them in the poultry business, boy. I says, they'd eat a 2.5 steak, $2.5 steak, but I'd get all the chicken you eat for $1.25, $1.50. And I always liked fried chicken, and it was better for me, and all that steak, you know, was half done, you know, and then they'd have a quart of bourbon on the table, you know, take an appetizer, in other words, and it would help, you know, what I told them. I said, that helped cook that steak. But you go and go to bed on that stuff, you know, why, I just couldn't make out. Of course, they was in the office, and I was working on the farm, see? But I got along just fine up there, and the people were just nice, you know, tell you if you want to be, if you want to halfway do right.
But you know what, Faye, I can see that now. Camp Blanning just took these fellas off the farm.
That's why. Well, the market, the price is taking them off. Just like I'm telling you about the cucumber. My sister-in-law paid 35 cents for a cucumber and 22 cents for a bell pepper inside of a lemon. And you can go and buy a packet of a bunch of turnip greens, like my sister-in-law was in the harvest. She'd buy them and pay 35, 45 cents, and said it'd take 2 bunches to make us a mess. 40, 45 cents. I said, look at the people in other words. I'll care to many a bunch in other words, and they want me to pick up the one that went to the bad, you know, not working at the A&P, they ain't going to school at Gainesville. Pick up some bad ones and throw them away to the cows and put some fresh ones in the place of it. Well, they wasn't out anything. But that's the way I paid my way through the university there 1 year, I know, with hauling vegetables. These spring onion, you know, turnip green and mustard. And I even had some of these collards, you know, your crop, you know, and put a rubber band around them.
Yeah.
Well, the A&P, in other words, why, they was handing people for the colored people. And the doc, in other words, they get collards and put a little syrup in them and cook them, a little piece of fat meat. They got something to eat, in other words. And,
just put a little syrup in
them. Put a little syrup in them, yeah. They had no molasses. My mother used to put a little brown sugar. My dad liked it. But I know he cared too much for collard. Now, I'm trouble with mustard, and I like turnips, too. But mustard, I'll tell you, I'm a mustard eater. Eat them. I could have bought you some turnips this afternoon, but I didn't have time really to get them. You'd have to come out and see my brother again sometime. I enjoyed y'all visit. They're going to get a little too old anyway. I imagine, did they have any roots on the turnip? Did he give you some of the hybrid turnip before when you was out there? You remember?
A little.
They had a little. Well, they ought to be getting a little root on them now, in other words, because they're making 3 or 4 weeks after my brother's boy gave her them seeds. Sent them, paid the freight and all, a little cardboard box about that square, and he had a little bit of everything in there. But they had a time of that garden and getting it started and watering it and cold killing it and this, that, and the
other. Oh, it's been
an aggravation. I told him, I said, well, I told you, you know, we're going to have a late cold and forget about it and wait until, you know, up the middle of April before we start anything.
Well, now, Cardee was...
He was a carpenter, and he's older than I am. He retired, and he rode my truck and still owed me transportation going up there, and I think I paid for his dinner a time or two, but that's all on profit and loss. I've forgotten all that. But he came on and done the work for me, and he wanted to charge me three or three and a half hours. That's when I told him.
You know, the last I saw of Cardee, he just taken out of that pump business or anything like that. He's over there at that man right up the place there. Who was it? That old judge of, what you call his place? What do you call that? I forget the name.
Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stone.
Yes. And he was feeding
had the man Jeep and used it, go to Gamble and everything, got fired. Using the gasoline the man had, in other words, and using the man truck, and he going to Gamble and Ocala and everything in the man Jeep.
Yeah.
And they finally turned him off, and he wasn't doing anything. You had a colored man doing the work, and he's what you say, the foreman or the supervisor, but he wasn't working then, you see.
Yeah.
And that's when Strong, I think, finally let him go. Then they sold this other Ryan now, has it, in other words, and he's one of the big men, in other words, from Cape Cod. Seemed to be a pretty nice fella.
Well, is Pardee over there now?
No, he hadn't been around. He was Strong, you know, wound him up. So Pardee got him a garden, got everything imaginable. Now, you can buy a green with him, but he'll charge you 10 or 15 cents for one of those fire-sized onions, and he'll charge you about 40 or 50 cents a month, you know, for the collards he got.
Yeah.
And a little later, when he gets your roast in there, you can get it for about 10 cents an ear.
How long have
you
been doing that?
That's what it's called, charge H.A. H.A. said, it won't matter, and says, just wait. Now, he sold some of the tomato plants and got, I think, 10 cents a piece for them to the man that brought the post. And after he sold, you know, the tomato plants and got, you know, about $6 or $8, he come on down and said, I want the best T-bones that you got in the place, H.A. H.A. said, I've done forgotten what he'd come down. He brought me some peas and charged them rate about $5 or $6 a crate for them peas. And I told him, well, the peas, now they get too high. I said, I'd sell them most of mine. Now, wouldn't people pay $1 a hamper and pick them myself? I carried them to them. I'd get them $1.50 and getting the hamper back.
Yeah.
And the rest of the trade, or I charging them the same thing. I had that colored woman sell them for $1.25, and I charged them about $1.50 or $1.75, in other words. And they'd have them shelled, ready to put them in the pot and cook them, you know, and serve, you know, a little spoonful. You don't get a quarter for a spoonful on dinner, you see.
Yeah.
But I said, Pardee carrying them down at the boy that was good to him and charged them 10 cents a ear for the corn. H.A. said, I'll get him. I said, "What do you mean, H.A.?" He said, he won't come in and buy something me. Whether it's nails, staples, or whatever he wants, for he'll have to pay me for it. So at steak, I said, "Well, you get party on the steak?" Yeah, he said. He come in and just wanted one slice, you know, and he wanted about an inch and a quarter thick across that leg of that cow. He got in a hind quarter. Yeah. It was a pretty good size. I don't know, just I think maybe 60. I'd say 60 or 70 pounds, in other words. And H.A. said, "I've been losing money anyhow selling this meat too cheap." I said, "They can't buy it at a chain store with this." But I said then that I wasn't going to let Party have it cheap because he hadn't done anything to me. And he said, "I charged him $1.30 a pound for it."
Yeah.
And he said, "That piece of Party got cost him right at $4.
One
steak over the hundred.
You mean Party?
Party, after him selling the plants and over the band, he wanted to get a good steak for his stomach, see? And H.A. remind me of the time, like I was telling you about, losing some wrenches, in other words, steal some wrenches, it cost about $8. And my brother had the irrigation pipe, and I had the motor. I still got the big old 7.5 or 9 horse irrigation motor down in the shed. Never have sold it,
yeah.
But we had a chance to sell that pipe, you know, and we got twice what we paid for. We bought it secondhand, we got twice what we paid for it. Let me see, right at 1,000 feet, you know, 20 or 21 foot joints, in other words, and had some sprinkler heads, you know, rainmaker sprinkler heads. But the motor got a man didn't want it. It kind of needs some work on it. It's air cool, you know. I think it's one of those, thinks the name of the pump. Now, it's a pretty well reliable pump, though. It's on two wheels, you know, tired. It's behind that old wagon. He knows that old wagon around there like that, not him. You said that was his out here?
Yeah.
But mine's a one horse, and I got the shad for it. Now, else, you can't make a two horse. I got tongue work too, I think.
Yeah.
If you use shad for one mule,
yeah.
But one of the big mules we had weighed about 1,100 pounds, while one horse, you know.
Yeah.
But to call it a horse and a half, now that's a regular old two horse there,
yeah.
With a yoke and all on it. But mine with a tongue on it, and the tongue, you know, hit the ground. That's there, the tongue stayed off, you know, and had a brass yoke and a chain on it. That's the antique property he got there. He might well let some of these people have it. Fell in game with that one is one. He could get some money for that thing. Get about what it cost him when he bought it brand new.
Yeah, easy.
Because his is in pretty good shape. It's jacked up and on the shelter. Mine on the shelter, but dry rot hit it. But Party, you know, he broke me up from, you know, having any dealing with him after that. But this pipe, he come and use it for tobacco beds, you know, and make money out of them tobacco beds, like he was his plants. He made money out of his pepper plants and his egg plants.
Oh, did he?
He made money. He got some of his plastic and covered it over and over and saved it for the cold, and he'd get 10 cents a plant, you know, for his tomatoes and pepper plants.
They come there, he'd
come there and get it.
Come,
yeah.
And get it.
Or he'd carry it to the seed store, you know, where somebody'd see him and say, and put it in that little Volkswagen or whatever, that little, he got a pickup now, a Datsun, I think, and haul it to him.
Yeah.
And they'd sell it, you know, out of the store, retail, and pay him, you know, a good price, and they'd just increase the price on that. But business wise, I don't know. I get along with him, and I don't have much use for Kelly.
Well, he's done a little of everything, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was in with the sawmill crew. Now he could run the saw even, you know, cut the timber at the sawmill.
Yeah.
But he had the job of putting those I-beams and all together, and the whole thing had to be made. And after you get your pattern of it, you got it made. You know what I mean? It's no skill business to that kind of work. You know, but that's the cheapest way to get stuff now. If you're going to build a house, go and buy the thing already made, you know, with a pitch and a brace and a nail, in other words, put together.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than you can take buy the lumber and make it yourself.
Yeah.
And it's solid, people using it. I think it's good as any.
Well, he was ahead of you all. Did he go to Camp Blanding?
He rode my truck and sat on the front. He and Bill Anderson, are two of the carpenters, was in the front when I got pulled. That's the only time I would have been pulled for speeding. In other words, but I'd end the Ford, no, and it was wrong. Now, as I tell you, you heard me tell that, man. I didn't know you were lying about anything, no, it's wrong. I says, you notice, of course, he's a mechanic. He knew that extra framing, it costs, you know, maybe $40 or $50 more to reinforce that frame. If you're going to haul pupwood, you don't keep them busting in the middle. But I said, I might as well get it, and I wanted a deluxe cab, you know, like this pickup. I bought it deluxe cab, and the one that I had before this, and the Dodge, 49 Dodge that I had before this one. Well, it was a Lux cab. It's a seat and comfortable. You're going to use it for a car. Now, I had a Ford automobile that I bought from that doctor come down to Chicago. And it was a good car, and he had it fixed up. It had what's called a Lincoln. This man here knew what it was. Lincoln rear end in it. You've heard of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
And as the fellow said, outrun a racehorse. It wasn't much on dragging, but after you got it revved up, it would leave that Chrysler you got out there.
Yeah.
That thing at the doctor, I sold it to the doctor. He outrun everything, the whole community and all with it. Lincoln rear end, the high speed, the ratio on the back end. And it had the old drive, you know, it had the stick there. You've seen them. You pull it out, you get an old drive into that Lincoln wreck in. And you get it up, I'd say, 30 or 40 miles an hour, and you throw the gas to it. So you can make about 120 or 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's the reason the doctor wanted it. I let him have it for $200. But I didn't have no car. But you talking about his boy, him knowing the equipment, that Dodge. It's got a ratio in the back end, but the speeding that I got for speeding, 30 or 40 men, and you know where Stark is.
Yeah.
You know where the railroad, I think they've done away with just this side of it. It's just this side of the city limits.
No, I don't know.
Well, it isn't as far. It's not as far from the hard graded road here from the stoplight. And you have to, you know, check, you know, go through the town of the spotlights. Anyways, now I hit that railroad, why, that's when the man blew the siren at me.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what you was, that Ford, now it was run. It wasn't like this Dodge. That Dodge just geared down low on it. About 50 to 55, it all it make wide open.
Yeah.
But it sounded like it's revving up on the count of the low end. That back, that Chrysler motor's in it.
Yeah.
Why, it's revving up, it sounds like you're making 100.
Yeah.
You know how a lot of these dragsters are. They make more noise than anything else. But that thing will pull. I'm not telling no story about it.
Well,
that, pulling. Yeah. It outpulled that Ford I had, and it would outrun it. Now, that Ford would make about 70 miles an hour.
Say that to you.
But I didn't have, you know, I didn't have time to get up that much speed before I could.
Hello?
You know, I had to hit the.
Is it speaking?
But I got the.
Oh, it won't stop. Just a minute.
Who do you
want to
talk to?
Smith.
That'd be Smith. Me.
I'll
talk to you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, that's old.
Just
coming. Oh, that's old Pat. That's Pat. I want to talk to him. Pat Smith.
Uh-huh.
Red Smith. He said, that's him. He's a.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's in.
You've been over to. You got tied up over Stark. Yeah.
I know them all.
I got a fellow to come over here with a torch and just cut it out. Right. Yeah.
But I can't do
that. I didn't know. I couldn't get it out. I didn't know
he's
any way to get it out. And it seems like it's all right.
I'll have to get about 2,200 for it. And he got it on the lock. Now it's painted all up.
All
so
right.
Well,
I appreciate
it.
It.
I'm gonna have to have $2,500.
Yeah.
I said, you go and sell that booming thing for $2,500. I can't pay that. That wasn't fair. That's fair. That's the one I call fair. And somebody call him Red.
No, this is Russ Smith.
Russ.
Not
Red Smith. But
Red Smith, but he worked for Rush Tax Company.
No.
This
no, Russ.
No, he's over here. He's got that welding out.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh,
there.
Yeah. After making open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him, sure.
Yeah.
I call him Foot Smith because his foot's about that long.
Yeah.
And he weigh about he weigh 200 and something odd.
He's way up there.
He's bigger than you are, I believe. He's about your height, but I'd say he weigh 50.
Oh, yeah.
He weigh 50 or 60 pounds more than you.
Yeah. He can
but Red, I think it's Red International.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
out of Chambers, see?
Does he ever help you?
No, he's had a little work, you know, in the neighborhood, but that Giga boy there telling me that he could do some work, and he was going to fix my wagon, but I carried my wagon to, he's reasonable, too. He's a well and a torch man, a pretty good mechanic and reasonable. There's a kid a lot in Fairfield.
Yeah.
And he did my work, because, you know, near, and I had the wagon over there, you know, that was near the Fairfield, it was the making open. So I told him, and he said, yeah, I can get on it, just bring it on down here. So I hooked it behind the pickup, you know, and carried the wagon on that. He straightened the fifth wheel, they call it. You know what a fifth wheel is. It's ball sprung, and you get it loaded while you want to kick sideways, you know, where they're dangerous.
Yeah.
You'd be pulling it down behind your pickup can at the mill, in other words, and hit a little hole or something. Why, it might turn over and it'd be like that woman that got killed on 75 up there here a few weeks ago, in other words. When they had the speed zone 50 miles an hour, and she must have had that old mobile 88 or 98, must have been making 75 or 80 and had a trailer behind it.
Yeah.
And that woman didn't know how fast she'd drive, no, but just had the foot on the floorboard, I reckon, with a pedal.
Yeah.
And the husband and that, both of them up in the 70s. And it killed her instantly, in other words, and he was in bad shape.
Old Pardee, though, he has got a little of everything around.
That's a little everything. He was with a sawmill crew, and he got on down there with him and stayed and ate like a pig at the PX. You know, you go down and get your meal at noon, in other words. Reasonable, and eat with them boys. That, back, you know, on that day, you could do that, see. And it was a shame to see him eat. He'd go back through the line again.
Oh, really?
And that's the reason it's showing on now. He got a pretty good front,
yeah.
You know, monument already.
Yeah.
But he would pay for his dinner, in other words, but then he, you know, wound up by owing me $4, $5, or $6, you know, for a ride, about a week's ride,
yeah.
A little better than a week. But it was all right. Once, twice, they didn't have any money, and I paid for dinner. You have any business dealing, you know what I mean. It don't take you long to find a fellow, and you do, why don't fall out with him, be a good friend, but just resolve, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same, it's partnership in the way of business transaction, in other words.
Do it next time.
That's right.
Bill Wynn had melons in my back pasture 1 year. I wanted to get it all plowed up,
mm-hmm.
And it had stumps and everything back there. And he got Pardee to do the work. And he brought that old, big old John Deere thing of his. And he just cut the fire out of that.
Yeah.
And if he run into a stump or a root, I'm telling you, he took it with him. I never saw anything like it. And he was putting out that fertilizer. And the people they got it from, they leave that big trailer out there. And he had that little trailer. It hold, 5 or 6 tons, I don't know how much. And he pulled that with that old John Deere. And it was heavy. Oh, it was heavy. And he would just race along with that, you know. He finally broke down. But he was just putting on a show. Is he put on a show all the time?
Yeah, he's still doing it. They finally got the thing, and it cost a little money to get it fixed, and he finally messed around and got that thing for little or nothing from Bill Wynn, from the company.
Oh, really?
And I sent a man down there to buy one of them little, smaller tractors like mine, a Super 8 they had.
Yeah.
And they had two, but they wanted to sell one and keep one. But this big one, though, where the Cecil was handling, in other words, why, if something happened to it, a long time before they had to fix it. That cost $200 or $300 to get it fixed.
Yeah.
And Cecil wound up with getting the thing for a little nothing. But I don't know. Someone said he thought he owes the company, you know, some money on some pipe and all, because he wanted to sell Lightner, Bill Wynn did. There's some pipe that had left over in that well drilling business. It's black pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lightner and that man over there, they didn't want it. But they got this man out of Ocala to put down the 6-inch well. But Pardee, he got into it. That's what he wanted to do for me. He wanted to put down a 4. Says, I want to dig another well 4 feet from where yours is. And you say, get the water. You never have been out water. I said, I don't want another well, and I don't want to pay for the casing down at Bill Wynn, you know, where the pipe was that they had on stock. I said, I want you to change your rig back to 2-inch, you know, and put my pipe down. I got the old casing out. I jacked it out. With jacks. Hydraulic jacks. 8-10 ton jacks. And after I got it coming, I pulled it out. Then I started to put another in, and that gumbo, you know, foul them up. And after getting on top of the pump house, you know, with a piece of timber, heavier sweet gum, good pine, sap pine, you know, it wouldn't split. In a 12-pound sledge, I couldn't drive that casing down. That gumbo cleared. It done started coming in the hole, and we pulled it out. We started, you know, pretty quick. But you know that old, you've seen that old milk, you know, after you drill a well, pump out. And that's when I wanted Cecil to come over and and clean the hole out, you know, and put the 2-inch pipe back in. It watered down. It had been there for 70 or 80 years, you know, 2-inch. But he didn't want to change his rig. He's too lazy to do it. He said, I want to dig you another, and I'll dig you another 4-inch hole for $100, and you can buy the pipe cheap as I can through Bill Wynn, which you could have, but bought it from the pipe company in Ocala. I said, sister, I don't, all I want is 2-inch. I said, that 4-inch pipe costs too much. And I got all the mechanism.
They won't put down 2-inch anymore.
And he said, no, he said, I wouldn't put down a 2-inch. Well, I don't want to change my rig back to 2-inch work with it. That's when I got that willing boy in over there, I'm telling you, Larry.
Yeah.
But Larry, he come out there and he done it. Because he hadn't been married. Well, he'd been married a good while because he had one or two young ones. But another one coming. And he said, that's going to cost me $150 just alone for the doctor, man, not counting the time she's in the hospital. He said, take about 5 days, but he says, you got a little bit of insurance, but it won't take care of all of it. All the insurance now, you know how it is. They want to pay about half of the cost of you going to the hospital now, the insurance you have, because they're going up, you know, everything. I said, sure do. I want it, says so. I said, I want to know about what it's going to cost me, Larry, the estimate. It wasn't that I doubted him, because I knew him when the boy was going to school, but he seemed to be a pretty good sort of a chap, and he dug one for Cedar Junior out there. Well, man that I worked with, and it's a 4-inch well. But Larry says, tell you, you know, if you got water and you had water all the years, it shouldn't run into difficulty. But if you don't get in the water, it won't charge you as much. But if do get water, in other words, it'll be $10 more. I said, well, how much you say offhand? He said, well, $30 and $40. I said, well, when can you bring your rig over here? I said, well, one at Citron, one somewhere else over on that line, 301 somewhere over else. I said, I'm picking one up at Citron and be over here tomorrow morning about 9 o'clock. I said, well, come on and get my pipe down. We had it started, you know, had one piece of, had 120-some-odd foot down, you know, and done tied on, was up there trying to hammer and get the rest of it down in that gumbo milk and clay. So he came, and he hooked his pull on to it, pulled what we had in there out, and he run his tool in there, you know, clean the hole out, you know, where the old one had been there for 50 or 70 years. Well, he done that a few times, and he take my same pipe, you know, and just went on in like a top mill and drop it on down, man. He take me tape and made it down and said, hey, you water him within 4 feet of the top of the ground. I said, well, there's plenty of water there right on there. I said, and all the drought and everything, everybody else said, well, they had to go deep and do this, that, and other. And I said, this never had to get into trouble. And he worked right on through dinner, but he worked from 9 o'clock until 3. Two of them did. He and another Cuban, a Mexican. 9 o'clock. Till 3 o'clock, and they didn't have any dinner, and I gave them some marshmallow pies and some weenies. I came in, you know, just, you know, so I'd make me a rolled steak sandwich, you know, that's a weenie in a bun. And I gave them a weenie in a bun, you know, and a couple of marshmallow pies, you know, for the, you know, have them, whether it be on, you know, watch that thing, you know, keep working with it. And I paid and gave him a check for it. He's glad to get it.
Well, now,
but he's
Larry.
Frank,
is he kin to Larry? Frank Williams.
No, Sweet William they call him. No, Sweet William, different William.
That's a different one.
Yeah.
Now there's one of them down there. I don't hear too well. Don't hear people speak too well.
Is that Frank? He's supposed to be a church man, but say he'll hook. He's been out here working with that man. That man said he's all right. I said, well, I don't know. The lady folk call him Sweet William, but he's always been Frank to me, and I figured maybe he's like kind of a ladies' man. You know how some people are. The ladies kind of take to him.
Yeah.
He's a big old boy.
Yeah.
Drive a station wagon.
Yeah.
He's helped him work out there Smith and fouled up, you know, and I went there to build that corral, you know, down that plumbing that he'd fixed out of that pipe. He didn't do such a job. He got his fitting too close, in other words, and you couldn't turn the valve off. You know what I mean? For the doggone steel beam, you know, goes up.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to make no scene, you know, and I just told that welding man to come out there. I says, you got a torch. How about cutting a notch in this Well, you know how the old beam order got a flange on it. I said, just take your quartz and cut out, you know, maybe 3 inches and about an inch, you know, where you know, cut that valve off. The valve was off. But you might want to cut that valve off sometime, in other words. And you couldn't cut it off where he fixed his fitting and the plumbing, you know, with it. And it's a 3/4 inch valve. You know, going to the spigot. But Frank done that, but I didn't make no scene to tell him, but I don't like to condemn a man, you know, in his job or what he's doing, because that's his job, you know, and his business, in other words. And I tell an old fellow about the 4-point bob. And I, not none of my business, but I says, I always didn't like that one wrap, you know, one wire and one wrap, you know, one bobby not wrapped on one of the strands, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that's no good. That's that old hard wire, and you pulling it, we stretch it. Well, that loose wire, not the bob, you know, the 4 points are hooked around it,
yeah,
it'll pull tight enough.
Yeah.
And
oh, it will?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Oh, that's what happens to
yes,
it.
Sir. And one pulling a little bit tighter than the other, and it won't be long before rust will set in, and that
yeah,
wire deteriorates, see?
Yeah.
But it's hard, not, it's hard wire to begin with. You can't work with it with like can this regular 4 points, you know, both wire, you know, wrapped. And you cut it with your cutter, in other words. But there, he cut that the other day over, and I said, hey, I said, this is the wrong wire. So that's when that Italian called down there. Henry said, yeah, he called. So I told him, thought he made a mistake. But one of them new men got the wire. But after he got it, he said, leave that wire, you know, when you're pulling your wire where you bottom, you know, to mark the line holes, you know, with. And he's pretty shrewd. He's an architect. He knows a little everything, except he just said he didn't know anything about fence. But he held the stretchers up there one time. We put the stretchers on.
Yeah.
Don't pull it. He held the fence up. Anyway, he said, leave it on the bottom to keep the dog from digging under it. Said it'd be like a hog, you know, in a peanut field, in other words.
Yeah.
They'll dig under the fence to get out of the peanut field.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. But I think he learned it from his wife. She's an Alabama she's an Alabama girl, you know, and she's like you and I ordinary, but he you can tell he's pretty shrewd in other words, but him Italian. And somebody Henry said he'd been in the house. Henry said, what is he? Said, I believe he's a Catholic. I said, I haven't asked him too much, but his wife, she told me she'd been down at Presbyterian and McIntosh through the time and said, thought they had service every Sunday, and come to find out they didn't have service every Sunday. And she'd asked me for the trouble. I said, I don't know too much about the Presbyterian and the McIntosh or the Methodist or anything. I said, my cousin and them, they Baptist know, and I go down there once in a while, and I'm a Baptist. I said, I know you're a Baptist. Aaron told me you're a Baptist, and he's a Methodist. I said, yes, sir. And Aaron's wife, I said, she's a Baptist. She said, yeah, told me that. I said, well, you're learning a little something, aren't you? But you said you're coming to our church. But the man says, you go ahead and leave that wire down there. Go all around that yard there, about 2 acres, a little better in the yard part, where you're going to have a garden in the back corner. But he said, leave that wire on
the Did Noe Offutt always sort of go out of his way to get along with people?
Well, I imagine he did. He was if he liked you, he liked you.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. If he didn't like you too much, he didn't have too much to do with it. He's always congenial and a friendly sort of fellow, and
yeah,
I always got along fine with him.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't no question. Of course, he was having to pay for it, but when I was working with him in the watermelon situation, it wasn't no argument or nothing about it, in other words. Well, he'd take my word, and Mr. Christian, that he called it, furnishing the money, they paid me off. There wasn't no argument. We always got along fine together.
Yeah.
And that's the way it seemed to you. He always done. And I had some experience with him with the hay den, in other words. But
did he work in hay for a long time?
Yeah, that's right. He contracted, you know, wasn't done extra job for different people. In other words,
yeah,
and big people like doctor, you know, all this sister, you know, across the railroad, you know, People's City. He worked for him years and finally looked after the farm. His health got bad where he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Farmer fell on the right.
Yeah.
And
you know, there, after he'd gotten pretty far along, you know, he figured he could go ahead and get through a hay season if he got some of that new equipment down there. And
that's when he bought that R-55 hay bale.
I was up there one time, and I saw that equipment, and that's the first time I ever saw one of those
boys, it just went like a sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's no two ways about it. It was, it, they just beautiful.
That's right.
They?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, they don't take the place of your big old...
bush hog.
Bush hog.
But this is it's a coming thing. In other words, it's no Pitman. It's a rocker system, in other words.
Yeah.
My boss now can't bought one. But that unit that condition it and mold it all at the same time is just like a sewing machine. But it's pretty delicate. You got to know what to do it.
Yeah.
And Junior asked me, I might have told you, could I run the thing? I said, I run one. First one that Pioneers we got. They had the money. They got the first one that Rush Company got down there. The little tires went and all. And I run it. And I said, they're putting the cutting Alice Cove, the first thing with it. And of course, it's, you know, Alice Cove ain't like beggarweed, you don't cut. You know, just like a broom straw.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, I'd get out there and I'd cut, you know, 3,000 bales in 3 hours' time.
Yeah.
You just pull the thing, you know, about third or fourth gear. And I was using a diesel, they had diesel forwards there then. And that, they had a 3,000 gasoline burner and a 2,000 diesel. And that diesel 2,000 had more power than the 3,000 gas. But to come to find out why it wasn't set up right, they didn't have it tuned right or something, the gas burner. Didn't know it until they traded and went and got the Mesa Ferguson. And